Hi, this is Lori, your host of Happiness Hangout, a space to come and elevate your happiness levels. You, me, and our guests will discuss and help you apply happiness to all aspects of your life, even if you're already happy. Get your daily boost of information to help you feel your best. Hi, this is Lori with the Happiness Hangout. Welcome to the show. Happiness Hangout's a place and space to help you feel your best. And today, we are going to be talking about inspiration, getting inspired when you need to, or helping inspire others, whatever you want to take from it about inspiration. So we're going to be having two shows on this for a month of shows on inspiration, because it's a very important topic. And it's part of the things that make us feel good in life is being inspired or maybe providing something that inspires others. And we want to talk a lot about that. So we're going to do that today with Ms. Sarah Troy. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about our expert, Sarah Troy, right now. So Sarah Troy is the producer and host of Self-Discovery Radio and blog. She believes in knowingness, that feeling you get of knowingness when you let the divine intellect speak to your gut and enter its divine knowledge. Then it resonates with your heart in truth and passion. Onto the spirit to get you into action and draws from the mind what it needs to know at the time it needs to know. That is her knowingness and the state of being she chooses to live in. She found her purpose in calling with her radio blog station, Self-Discovery Radio. Each week, she and her host interview exceptional people living extraordinary lives, sharing their expertise and their own self-discovery. They discover knowledge on their health, inner wealth, and the possibilities that they are inspired to follow. They also support their global Community for Change initiative by raising funds that they will invest back into people that need help in re-embracing life, by hiring the services of those they interview who will enable them to find their dignity, liberty, and meaningful purpose in life. Sarah Troy, welcome to the Happiness Hangout.
Oh, wonderful to be here, love. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, so glad to have you. Well, you know, you and I have talked a couple of times before, and I've really enjoyed our talks, excited that we've been able to do that a couple of times. And so, you know, in our first part one of our show, to our listeners, we're really going to talk about quite a bit about inspiration itself, where it comes from, how it happens, some things about Sarah and what she does. And the second part of our show is going to focus on inspirational stories, what inspires people. Sometimes I feel like I'm a hands-on learner and I like examples and things in life. So we think there's so many great stories out there that we want to share with the listeners of the Happiness Hangout. So Sarah, without further ado, let's get started.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Sarah obviously is the founder, producer, host, and has many hosts of Self-Discovery Radio and blog. And I guess I would like to start by letting our listeners know what some of your acronyms mean. So first of all, what is SELF? What does SELF mean?
Soul Enabling Life Force.
Soul Enabling Life Force.
Yes.
Tell us more about that.
Well, you know, the soul intellect, which is something that is very much my platform, allowing, you know, the gut. You know, when people say, how do you know? I don't know. My gut just tells me. And we don't kind of question it. We just know it to be. I call that the soul intellect. And it enables our life force to be, allows our heart to be stimulated, our spirit to be lifted, and of course, and then our knowingness. So if we actually tuned in more to our soul's intellect, that divine knowledge, that universal knowledge that comes to us, it will guide us to being who we are meant to be and what we're meant to know at the time when we need to know it.
And, you know, I imagine sometimes I could say for my own self, sometimes we've let that get in the way, or maybe we're not aware of it. I just wonder a person has to become aware of these things really on their own in their own time. Or sometimes maybe what, a life circumstance happens and they begin to listen to their soul, their gut, and those things they need? Or how do you find that happening with a lot of people?
It's always there, but we're not taught to tune in. We're taught to be stimulated and to learn from everything exterior. And really what we've learned now and what we are learning through shows like you and I are doing, and through the coaching and the counseling and other wonderful things people are doing out there, that it's an inside job. And that when we tune in and we tune to learn to listen to what's going on the inside, we know that all that knowledge is there. And that's how we can tap into that beautiful universal knowledge and what it means to resonating with our heart, spirit, and mind. Everybody thinks it's the head first. It isn't. That's the data. That's the programming, the software. If we don't invite the soul, heart, and spirit into the conversation, we never get truly what we need to understand.
And if we're not taught to do it,
exactly,
then we just sort of have to come upon it in our own way, I guess, don't we?
Well, that's the awakeners. You know, we have so many people now consciously awakening, and it's suddenly they've got this feeling, you know, my sensories have come on. I'm more aware. I'm more conscious. I care more. I'm paying more attention to what's going on around me, within me, and what's going on in the world. And it's beautiful to see. But there are people like myself who's been a soul awakener for all of my life. And the reason why we do our shows is to help people on their journey and to let them know they're not alone. And there are people out there with skills and tools that can actually help them go in, navigate what they need to know, switch off the chatter, and you know, be true to who they are.
I love that you just, that really hit me, switching off the chatter. Yeah, we're both laughing because we've talked a lot before, but you know, that that is hard for a lot of people. And sometimes I think, you know, the older I get, the more I feel for people who let that chatter run their life. The, you know, I teach this in the classes that I teach too, in counseling at the college. It's, we teach people how to counsel, all that chatter that gets in to your mind and how to put that to the side. And some people live in that space. They are so just consumed with surface and the day to day. They're not, you know, everything is there put in front of us so we can see the deeper aspects of things. Like there's so many deeper levels that we can go. And I used to live in that chatter world where I was always on the surface. And you know, it was really stressful and it was really hard on me. And I imagine a lot of people, if they really think about it, like if you think to yourself, how much chatter do I live in all day? And quite frankly, I think, like we were talking about, I think some people live in chatter unless they're sleeping and they're dreaming or just sleeping in general. They're living in that chatter for, you know, 18 hours a day. And that is tough on your body and your mind and your heart, don't you think?
Oh, it's tough on your spirit. It's tough on everything because it's overstimuli. And how can you actually hear what you're meant to be hearing with all this chatter going on? And of course, they overstimulate themselves with, you know, all the media, all the social media, all the texting, all the noise. You know, I've got to have music in my ears all the time. I've got to have something on all the time. I have to have movement around me all the time. And one of the key things that people are missing is that stillness and that silence. There is so much knowledge to be learned in silence, and there is so much to be understood within stillness. And until people are willing to switch off the chatter and they overstimulate and come into those moments, they're not going to find that inspiration. You know, we did the show on happiness. You came on with me and we dedicated it around happiness. Everybody's seeking happiness, but they're so busy looking for it elsewhere, they don't realize it lies within. Be still. Be silent, and you'll know where it is.
And it's so peaceful to do it. I have a hard time, you know, with it. I've, you know, talked with meditation experts. I'm going to have one on in a later show here at BBS Radio. So it's a wonderful thing to do. And I've said to myself, well, maybe it was about a week ago, I was lying in bed and I just could not stop the clutter. I could not stop it. And it was a great time for me to sleep, to have a little bit of a nap to refresh because I had a hard morning. And I kept saying, just count backwards from 10, just start there. And I did that a couple of times and I fell right to sleep. And when I woke up, I was just raring to go. And I thought, you know, boy, is that a hard thing to deal with. And not everybody meditates. And no. I think it's a wonderful tool in the toolbox to use. But, you know, I even have to tell myself, just think about the number five, or just And that's all I want you to think about for 30 seconds. Sometimes that's all I can do because I know that silence is going to make me feel so much better. And voila, no wonder when you sleep and you wake up, so many people say, oh my gosh, I know the answer. My fiance always says, let's sleep on it no matter what.
Yeah, exactly.
And I will wake up like a maniac. I mean, I will wake up and I will have answers to things in the shower. I get more epiphanies and more answers to issues in the first 45 minutes of my day than any other time during the day.
Because you've stepped outside of your mind and you've allowed your consciousness to have a volume, to have a voice. And, you know, we have to realize that this, and we can't force meditation on people. I'm not a meditator, not in that traditional sense. You know, if you got me cross-legged on the floor, I probably wouldn't be able to get back up again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might be a walk. It might be a swim. It might be, you know, you're dancing. It might be certain music. You know, if I need to kind of zone out, I just go into YouTube and pick out some music that speaks to me. And it takes my chatter away and allows what is trying to come through. You know, its avenue, its entrance. But we really have to explore ourselves and find out what is it that puts us in that peaceful state that allows us to turn the volume down and be calm. And of course, breath. You know, there's a reason why we say take a breath, because that slows everything down completely.
I can still chatter through all that. and you know what's really funny? Exercise and music
yeah.
are two things. Oh, I just love music. And it is a wonderful way. And this past summer, I was really given a wonderful gift and access to two swimming pools right in my area and in our homeowners association. And I swam constantly, and especially, you know, if you're putting in something in your day that you just feel like you just have to do and it's exercise, you know, you're on to something. So I would go swim for an hour and I would have to work at, when I was doing my laps, not thinking about anything. I will tell you, when I was thinking about something, it was refreshing. And a lot of times it did help me clear my head. But what you're reminding me is I have to remember, and I think a lot of our listeners maybe can gain good from this, is remember, let some of those times just be there and just, you know, feel the water against your arms and your entire body and your legs and just allow that to be there. I have to remember that it's a good head clearing, but it's also a good way to be calm as well. And I forget that. So
well,
thank you.
Water is a conduit. And water is a wonderful way. It has most beautiful vibration, and it has a beautiful way of kind of bringing your equilibrium down. And, you know, doing a few strokes, you know, doing a couple of lengths, you'll find that rhythm of swimming in the water, doing the breaststroke or the black stroke, doing a couple of lengths of that in that energy of that water is a conduit to you connecting. And it is, you know, really therapeutic. And it's calming, it gives you exercise, it's therapeutic, it helps you tune in. You know, it just, there's some wonderful commodities to water. And, you know, if you can't get out there and swim, sometimes it might be a nice long bath or, you know, standing in the shower. But use water as that way to not just wash things away, but, you know, to kind of renew and re-energize you.
Absolutely. So we have to take some time to think about what those things are, whether it's walking, mm-hmm. water, exercising, whether it's music, whatever. That's a great thought for our listeners for inspiration. Think about what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I was talking about you in your intro, I used the word, as you gave me the word, of knowingness, this knowingness that you talk about. Can you give us more about what knowingness is to you that you refer to?
Well, I'm a spiritual counselor, and I have been my entire life and past lives. And, you know, this is what I was put here on earth to do. And I have an attunement into, you know, what goes on in the universe and, you know, intuitiveness. And that intuitiveness lies within each and every one of us. That is that soul connection, you know, when the heart resonates. And what we do is that we can all be in that sense of knowingness, especially when we do it from the soul, heart, spirit to mind, and not try and do it from the mind down. Because when we listen to that soul, heart, and spirit, it speaks to us in such simplistic truth that's not complicated, not highfalutin, you know, just simple truth, where you have that sense of, I know, and I don't need to validate, I don't need to justify, I know. And that beautiful sense of knowingness is such truth. And there is no reason to articulate it. It simply is. And if we can find that space, that being in there, it will guide us forward in our lives to making decisions that really do serve us and serve our meaningful purpose for which we are here. But we have to tune in to the soul, the heart, and the spirit in order to be able to actually understand what it is our mind needs to know when it needs to know it.
So you have to actually figure that out and kind of let it come to you. I know if we're too hard on ourselves for anything, you just have to. People
we overthink.
All have.
We yeah. overthink. Stop thinking. Start feeling. When we start feeling our lives, feeling our reactions, what is it that makes us smile when we look at children and animals and beautiful flowers and a butterfly flying around? What is it when we see something that's great that lifts up our spirits? What is it that's heartwarming to us? All of this is attunement into our spirit, into our soul, into our very existence. And if we tapped into those feelings that make us feel good, that let us know why we're here, that is a sense of our knowingness. And then the head isn't ruling. When the head rules, all it is just going on a treadmill or like a hamster on a wheel, going around and around and around, and we're never going to get anywhere.
So that's when you're in the zone, right? When
yes.
you actually tap into those things. Is that what that means for you?
Exactly. Exactly. And of course, you know, another thing that I've done along with my partner, it's his baby, is the Q Factor Zone. And it's actually an app where you will actually be able to gauge when you're in your zone, when you're zoned out, and when you're too zoned in, blocking everything else out. And it would be a little app that you can do that will gauge exactly where you are. You can start assessing what's going on around you. How come I've been pushed out of my zone? What's causing me to be frazzled? And it's a barometer, and we're coming out with that in the summer.
Oh, that's very cool, because that'll help people who don't really know where to start. They can be so cluttered up with things that
mm-hmm.
they what a place to start. I would love to hear about that when that comes.
Yes.
So make
yes,
sure you keep me in the loop so we can let other people know.
They can follow us at livingfractals.com. And the Q Factor and everything that it means is there. We're in funding right now to do the software. But when it comes out, the actual app itself will be free to use for people. And then next year we'll come out with the relationship app. And that's where you'll actually be able to actually define what roles people play in your life. Because that's another thing. We push this big word expectations on each other. And especially if you've fallen in love, you expect that person to be everything for you. And maybe that's not their role in life. They're not meant to be an advisor, or they can't help you with this information or that information. If we understand what their role is in our lives and ours and theirs, we actually don't put too much expectation on something that they can't deliver. And we understand those boundaries, and it makes for a better relationship. So that will be out next year. And that's only going to be $8 a month for unlimited use.
Well, you know, I love that, because when you talk about relationships, that can get so tricky. Who was it? I think it might have been the woman, this is coming to me, who wrote the book Eat, Pray, Love. It is her, Elizabeth. Oh, it's coming to me. I can't think of her last name, but she said something really interesting about putting so much on your relationship. She said, I always thought that my relationship with my partner that I choose to be with had to give me everything, soulmate, yin to my yang, everything. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I realized he just said, you know what? Let go of everything. I just love you and love being with you and love you for who you are and want to support you in what you do in your life. And she goes, you know what? That's exactly what I need. That's exactly who he is. He just loves me for who I am. And that's it. We put so much pressure on on ourselves. And if we're feeling a need to be with somebody, then it's there for a reason. Why does it? I'm not asking you to answer this, but I guess I say to the universe, why does everybody often think it has to be the same way for everybody because they have to be my all. They have to make me a better person. Well, if someone else has to make you a better person, I kind of cringe when I hear that, Sarah, when I hear someone
well,
say that.
I have to answer that. I have to
yeah,
answer
please.
That.
Please. I can't take it. It's too much.
You know, if you want someone to love you in your light, then you must be your light. You can't expect someone to go in and change all your fuses and rewire you. They can enhance your light. They can make your light beam brighter. But you have to have that relationship with self first. You have to love, respect, and admire yourself. Can you stand tall in your own life, liking who you are, what you stand for, and what you are, you know, contributing to the world? Because that is what you're going to invite back. That's what you're going to reflect out to the world. You want to have a good relationship with somebody or people in general, then be that relationship with self first, because that is what you're shining out to everybody. So love thyself first.
And everyone has always said you have to do that. I never got that for a long time. I never understood what that meant. But if you're in the mindset of that, then of course you get inspired by people because you're open to it. So that person that you've decided to connect with in that way for as long as you're going to do it, hopefully a lifetime, I mean, that's what people's goal is, you're going to be open to inspiration anyway. So of course they're going to inspire. If they support you and they believe in what you're doing, that's automatic inspiration from your partner because of the headspace you're in, don't you think?
Yeah, it's that support. You can't expect, you know, both of you to be Tweedledum and Tweedledee. You know, you want them to have interests that aren't yours and vice versa. And you want to be able to, you know, ask them about their interests and hear their stories. You know, I always say inspire to invite. And when you're inspired by something, it invites you to speak about it and to share that inspiration. And so, you know, if they've got something they love to do and then they come back and say, this is what I did today, you know, then they're inspired by that. They want to share it with you, which is wonderful. If we expect everybody to be like us, then what we're looking for is a clone. And how boring.
Well, all I really ever need from my significant other, because again, I'm an extrovert, is I love to tell him what happened in my day. And he always, you know, he doesn't have to say some magical thing, but he always says the right thing. It doesn't have to be like, oh, voila, you know, it's just that it is inspiring to hear someone support you and someone make a comment about it, whatever it is. That is inspiration.
Yeah, it is. And if the relationship is solid, then they are going to be inspired by what your day is. They're also going to know by how you speak about your day of what they need to do for you. You know, was it a bad day and you need a hug? You know, was it a great day and let's celebrate it? You know, was it a day that was food for thought? Okay, let's discuss it. You know, and when you share things with people, then it becomes an interactive, a participation in the relationship. And that's where you can bring your two outside activities together as a whole in that conversation.
So, you know, what we're saying here is, by the way, I have to share this to get it out of my mind. Eat, Pray, Love was written by Elizabeth Gilbert. Okay, so our listeners know how to let that out. Inspiration with all relationships, whether you are being inspired by others or you're inspiring others, you know, we're talking about the one that people have as a very high importance on their list of things in life, can be their romantic significant other relationship. You know, when we're trying that hard, people say, we work really hard at this relationship. I really struggle with that too, because, and I talk to my fiance a lot about this. I'm not trying to say, I don't want to use working hard. What I want to say is communicate. When something comes up, the fact that I have the wherewithal and he has the wherewithal to sit down and stop for a second and talk about it, kind of walk through it and then go on. If that's what people define as working hard, that's okay. I don't like that language.
Yes,
but if working hard is we're constantly fighting and we just make up and then we're fighting again or this bad thing happened, that to me isn't the working hard that I want to be doing.
No, they're actually just working hard for makeup sex.
Yeah. Oh, good one.
So, You know, the whole thing about a relationship is, for me, and how I define it, is it's my sanctuary. If I can give you my vulnerability, and if I can go into your arms in trust of that vulnerability, then that is love. And that is a place that I can feel safe at home. And that's the kind of relationship that I would want, that we're both there in our vulnerability, in respect of honor of each other. And that isn't something you work at. That is something you do protect. And you make sure that you don't have any knee-jerk reactions that's going to betray that trust and that honor, because that's really what that beautiful ball of love is.
You know, and not even talking about intimate relationships, talking about relationship either with a family member or a friend or somebody, all those things that you say really fit to that too. It may manifest itself in a different way. You know, we don't share all that we do with a friend or a family member. We don't share the same things in an intimate relationship. But as far as those qualities that you said, I highly recommend if you can find another person. Like, a lot of people have one person in their life that isn't a spouse that they can say anything to that support them. If you have that person, keep developing that relationship.
Yes.
If you want to have that person, because it's good if you can have 2-3 people in your life that you can have that with, because seeing different viewpoints from those who just want the best for you is really opens up your mind to creativity too, I think.
Well, the whole thing is also, you may not find, you know, what you need in one person. You may have a few friends and they're different relationships. You know, one friend you can tell all these secrets to, another friend you can be this, and another friend you can do that. Because that, again, is what role do they play in your life? And, you know, maybe they're there just to go out and have fun and participate in life with. Maybe they're there as a confidant. Maybe they're there as an advisor. And again, once you know what roles you play in each other's lives, you can honor that role. But again, don't expect one person to be your whole bestie and be everything to you. There may be some boundaries there.
And I think some people do think that, and they set their relationships with intimate partners, you know, up for failure.
Yes.
And that's, boy, that's
high expectations,
that's really,
and it's expecting too much of people. And this is, you know, what society is doing to us. It's expecting too much of us, more than we are designed to give. And if we actually understand our parameters, what we're really here for, we will actually understand our relationships a lot better.
It feels relieving. Like I feel relief. You know, I know that, but yet when we talk about it more, it feels relieving to me, which is, and I hope it does for other people too. So another good acronym that you have, and I love this one, is DIVA, D-I-V-A. Mm-hmm. Tell us about DIVA.
Well, you're a diva, baby, so own it.
Yes,
a diva,
I certainly
is,
am.
No, double meaning.
Yeah.
A diva stands for a dreamer who is inspired by the dream, can see the vision of that dream, and aspires to make it happen. So dreams, inspiration, vision, and aspiration. Again, coming from Bill Mackey, my partner, who's the acronym king. And, you know, diva has become something that I interview divas just like you do, because they have a dream. And they're so inspired by that dream. They share the vision of it. And they aspire for everyone to be able to, you know, live up to their own diva or discover what their own diva is. So I love the word diva and divaism, because if we don't have a dream, what is it all about?
True. And a lot of people get stuck in that, in phases of this. It's the action part.
Yes.
And, you know, having the vision and then taking the action. Before the Happiness Hangout came, it was in my head. I started working with somebody on it before it actually went live on August 1st of last year. I was working on it in my head for 5 years, and the things that were going on, other things were getting in the way, finances and time and whatever I could, but it was evolving. I may have actually needed that time to let it evolve, and it always continues to evolve. Of course, if it's not, there's a problem. So it should always be evolving in there. But, you know, and I love action. I'm an action-oriented person. I have to sometimes force myself to stay in the beginning phases, the dreaming phase longer. But, you know, those phases are different for everybody, aren't they? And And some people get stuck in a phase, especially the beginning one.
Well, the whole thing is that life is a process, right? And everything has a process in the way that it goes. And it's understanding what that process is. And this is, again, something that we do with the Q Factor. We help people actually understand what is their process. Because where there's four key processes, four key personalities, four key directives here. And when you actually understand which order they come in, you understand why sometimes you may get an idea and you want to jump straight to production. But there is a process that you need to follow. And if you can't be the person to follow that, that's where you need somebody else who's very, very good at that particular kind of process that can make it happen. Because we're never ever meant to do everything on our own. It's always meant to be a collaboration with other people. So in understanding what it is, it's perceive, postulate, process, and produce. And that's progress. And if we follow those steps, we'll always get to progress. And that's the chaos to order and order to chaos, which is constantly going on in our lives. So it's, we have to understand there's a process in life. But we need to understand what is our process and are we shortcutting? Are we needing other people to help us fulfill that process so we can actually get to progress?
Patience.
Tenacity, patience. You know, my motto is find something to believe in, act on that belief, commit to that action. But when you've got tools that can help you actually understand what the action is, what the process is, and what your particular unique processes, it just helps you do it so much more with clarity instead of frustration.
You know, I tend to have spurts, and I had a big spurt over the last about 3 weeks, and then sometimes I've just naturally learned to slow it down for a minute. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, and because sometimes I'm such a go person, and a lot of people are like this, that they just start going, and you know, that's what we're rewarded for, at least in my culture. We're rewarded for doing and getting things done. And a lot of times I've had to realize, wait a minute, you're not going to do it your best unless you let it simmer for a while. Let other things come to you that may make what you're doing a lot better before you fly into it. And that's my issue, the patience.
Well, that was mine too. And I think this is one of the reasons why my life has always been, every time I think I was getting somewhere, the rug would be pulled underneath me. And it was like, grasshopper, patience, you're going too fast. Mm-hmm. And I had to learn to slow down because, you know, I'm a seer. I see something. Oh, we could do this. We could do that. Let's do it. Let's do that. Again, a process. You know, it's not just how you do it. It's who you're going to do it with and who's going to be there, you know, for the progress. And I've had to learn these steps. And of course, with him actually building this program, it's been a great one for me because he's used me as a guinea pig. And it's taught me to slow down, tune in, pay attention, and be able to produce a product that it has more meaning and more clarity and more definition than the way it was because I was too much in a hurry to follow the process.
Well, I understand that. And I don't think we're saying when you have a spurt of aha that you shouldn't follow it. Absolutely. Because that's your gut and that's your instinct
that's
telling
your plan.
You to go.
That's when you write the plan out. You write everything out, all that inspiration, all, you know, all that gut. Okay, I want to do this. I want to do that. Write it all out. Everything that you see right to the end product, write it all out. That's your plan. But now you've got to start putting it into a process so you can actually deliver on it.
And that's sometimes, you know, after you get everything you need out of your system, I find when I do give it some time, every time, Sarah, I could be driving in the car, I could be walking the dog, I could be doing whatever, and things will hit me. And if I make it the end point and I just go do it, I've missed on so many opportunities. I mean, that's just a lesson I had to learn, you know,
In
getting older and wiser.
And that is entirely it, because that is stepping into your knowingness. You're out with the dog. Your mind is elsewhere. You're enjoying the moment, the simple pleasures. And that is when your knowingness can step in and just give you those ideas and such clarity because you're in that zone.
Absolutely.
Right? And it's important to be in that zone in order to receive that clarity, that knowingness.
Well, you know, we were talking about relationships and inspiration. I mean, that can be one form of inspiration, can be relationships. And I'm just thinking, you know, out loud, other things, other forms of inspiration besides coming to you yourself and besides people. You know, you and I have talked about animals and how they give unconditional love and how they can, I would envision how much they could be a source of inspiration.
I actually think that animals at the present moment are teaching humans how to be human. We're seeing animals that are meant to be arch enemies, that are meant to kill each other on sight, and there they are, best buddies, curled up together or playing together in harmony because they do not see their differences. They're resonating on the same vibration. They're on that same wavelength, and it is a respect and a joy and a simplicity. I wrote an article a little while ago, you know, why can't we all be colorless? Let's stop looking at the color of our skin, you know, our hair, our skin, our economics, or anything else. You know, I just wish everybody could see each other for our heart, soul, and spirit, because truly that is where we need to resonate on. Animals are teaching us to do that. They are so beautiful on bringing us down into that zone, on calming us down, of just bringing us down to simplicity, of just the joy of love.
I love that. And, you know, I'm a very much an animal person. So, of course, and I'm just laughing when you talk about those that should be, you know, kill each other or become best buddies. I think of people who it's just hilarious who have a dog and a cat and they have no clue that they're that they're mad at each other. I mean, they're like in love with each other and it's just funny to watch. And it does show you that it really doesn't matter. It's all, you know, most of these things we learn, the things that are the bad things. You know, we talked about this before as well. We learn, we're educated to believe, you know, we do better at this than they. We are better than they. We are smarter than they, which that's just a learned thing. That's just somebody's insecurity getting in the way of their ego, and that's just what it is.
Fear.
So when you think
Fear driven
about
too.
what's that?
Fear driven too. You know,
Oh, of
if you
course.
keep people in fear, you keep them in control.
Oh, we could have a whole show about that.
Oh, yeah, the sheeple, yes.
We could. And you know, other things that inspire you, I think it would behoove a person to really think about what does inspire them. You've made me think, you know, the love of music, how much I love art. I always like to go to a play a couple times a year. Sometimes that means only once. You know, music is a huge part of my life. And, you know, I said to my fiance, here are the things I really care about with our wedding and music, what I really want. You know, I'd like to spend just a little more money and have a live group and not a DJ because of the love of that. And he gets that. And he loves it too. But that everything around music, whatever inspires you, you just have to really, I guess, know yourself to know when it's not people and it's the things, you know, whether it's being creative and making something or hearing something or whatever that is, you have to be aware that you need to be aware. I need to be aware of what that is that makes me
Exactly.
feel
And honor it.
wonderful.
And honor it. There was a beautiful video up on YouTube, and there's this guy all dressed in gold leotard, and he has a jukebox there, and he's busy dancing on the street. And there's this little old lady who can't even stand up straight, wearing a little red coat, and she is dancing her heart out, just shaking and moving along with him. It was so beautiful to see, because that spirit, that love, that everything is still alive in her. And music is a way, it's a language all of its own that unites us and invites us. And get up and dance, get up and sing. I have a show this week actually on music and the importance of it. And just bursting out in song, who cares if you can sing or not? Get up and boogie, you know, dance. It is an expression, and it's an expression that we need to express so much more.
Well, you know, as we talk about your shows, you do radio and you don't do videos. You do more radio. Is there a reason behind that?
I was interviewed once and they said to me, why don't you do video? And I jokingly said, I have a face for radio. And they actually called the article that. And I thought, are they trying to tell me something?
Oh, no.
And I do it because I actually find radio more intimate. I find people are more willing to share. And, you know, some of the stories that I do are really dark. You know, they really have come from something totally horrific in their life. And it's a very vulnerable thing for them to say. And I feel radio is more invitational and a safer arena for that. I also think people hear better when they're not seeing. I think they see what they hear. The images come about. And it relates back more to their own story, that connection, that, oh, that was me, or I feel like that, or there's somebody else that's going through that. How did they do it? Can I do it? And I think that video gets in the way. So I love the intimacy of radio and the fact that you can download it and listen to it on your phone, on your tablet. You can listen to it anywhere at any time. So it's a story that can go with you anywhere.
Well, that's true. If I'm looking at a 27-year-old male, I might get caught up in, oh, he looks like so-and-so. Oh, he's cute. Or he, you know, I may get caught up in that in my head too. And we don't want that getting in the way of what message he's trying to send.
Exactly. Or, you know, what is she wearing? You know, you know, her hair, her this or that, and oh, the glitz and glamour that's around there. And I think that, you know, it can be lost. You know, if you look at TED Talks, it's just one person standing there at the microphone talking. And it has a great impact because it is about the storytelling. And if you, you know, we're telling and sharing our stories, aren't we? We're, you know, inspiring people with our stories to invite them to tell their own.
Well, you mentioned a little bit about your guests and your listeners. Tell us more about who they are.
Oh, my goodness. We have over 1,400 shows now on the station. I haven't done all of them myself. I've done over 500 because I do four different genres every week. And some of the stories are just unbelievable. I had William Whitecloud back on again. I think he's actually on the same week you're on next week, March 15th. And he wrote a book called The Magician and the Last Shaman. And it was his spiritual journey that he wrote out in this book, but more in a, you know, fictional manner. So I call that faction. And so it became something that really inspired me so much. And his show inspired me so much that I actually had to have him back on again because of his storytelling. And, you know, he's just one of them. I've had stories of Let It Go with Chris Williams, and he lost his entire family, two children and a pregnant wife, to a drunk driver. He was a pastor of a church, and everybody's telling him, throw the book at the kid, you know, eye for an eye. And he's saying, I cannot preach love and forgiveness if I don't forgive him. And he not only forgave him, but they became friends and helped this kid get his own life back together. That takes an enormous amount of courage.
I hear stories of this, and I just don't know how people do it. And I really honor that they can.
Exactly. And then there's Jan. You know, he made a lot of money in the .com, and he's a big philanthropist, and he takes his money and he invests in third world countries. And one of the things he started was a whole radio network for women to speak to women in, you know, Saudi and all of these other countries. And then he said to me, oh, but we only have 40% male listeners. And I go, what? You've got 40% of these men listening to women's radio shows on the topics of women? I mean, my God, the impact there. And then there's Not My Time to Die with Keshi Washi. She's a Nigerian girl that her plane went down, 109 people, two survivors. She was one of them, 65% of her body completely burnt. Yet she went on to get a degree, and she said, look, I didn't die. I got the gift of life, and I'm going to live it. But one of the poignant things she said to me, I have to be careful how much I walk in case my skin cracks. And, you know, and it's these are the things that she deals with every day. Yet she gets out there and chooses to live every day. You know, so I learned so much, you know. And then there's the soul cleanser, Lydia Federico, who gets in there and helps you realign your soul and your spirit. And she's such a passionate person. Young woman I knew growing up, she grew up with my children. She became a drug addict and it took her years to come off it. And then finally she walked away from it and now has been an inspiration. And I even had somebody say to me, she saved my life. And, you know, those are the reason we do the shows we do, you know, because of that kind of impact.
Well, you know, they're beautiful stories, and people sometimes forget in their everyday life what's happening out there. And I always tell people too, and I know you agree with this, even you hear somebody's story who was amazing, horrific, you have some strong, reaction to it. It doesn't mean that our stories aren't important too.
Absolutely.
And yeah, it's just that, what I fear when I tell people, I've lost both my parents, and they'll say, well, I guess I'm, really lucky then hearing your story. But still, I honor the fact that you also have your own stuff to deal with, and it's not going to look like mine. Maybe it isn't even impactful as mine, but that doesn't mean that I downplay your pain. And I watch that with people, that we want stories to inspire you, not say, well, I shouldn't feel sad because they had such a horrific life. No,
right.
We want you to be inspired to just do the best you can.
Exactly. And that, it's not just a question of people saying, this was my story and this is where I am now. It's the sharing of the how. What mindset did they get into? What did they do to honor that journey? Because that's how we learn to overcome our own problems. And, I've had people just simply getting over divorce, which can be horrific or a relief, depending, abuse, child abuse or adult abuse and bullying. I do shows on politics, not that it just seems to have fallen that way because I'm certainly very passionate about what's going on in the States right now. It's also celebrating people that have redirected their lives. One of them is Sherry Fink. She was in corporation making big money, but she'd always wanted to write children's stories. She's in a traffic jam and this story comes out of her and she's trying to find every piece of paper she can. She ends up writing it on her arm. And there started her new career. And now she's a best-selling children's author. And she honored her meaningful purpose and was willing to walk away from the safety to honor who she is and what she was here for. And that is something I celebrate in a very big way.
And, I hope everybody is starting to enjoy these stories because we're going to have an inspiration part two where we do talk about even more stories of inspiration. I'm hoping that Sarah will tell us some of her story. I'm sure I'll tell some of my story. And we're going to share at another time so many more great inspirational stories. And since we're going to do that, I do want to wrap up with talking to you about a little bit more about what is your Community for Change? Tell us about that.
Community for Change is one of our desires is that, we believe that the more you get in life, the more you have the ability to give away. And, one of our philosophies has most certainly been, a 10% of everything we earn goes back in to a community that inspires other people. And the Community for Change is something where somebody's got a great service and somebody's in need, but they can't afford it because in a redirect, that generally is the case. People can't afford the services that are going to help them embrace a new life. We will step up there and afford those services to help people get back on their feet and subsidize either all of it or some of it. That isn't completely operational yet. That is our desire to be there. And the Q Factor app is one of those things that will, as it makes money, be one of those things that supports that as well. So that's the desire, because we know that the more we invest in people, the more we're actually investing in the planet and the world, because it's not about money. The value and the worth of life is in people. And the more abundant people are, the more enriched we are as a society in this world. So that's what the Community of Change is. Under that is the Q Factor, and what it will support and sustain.
Wonderful, wonderful work. Well, as we wrap up, I do want to make sure that the audience knows how to reach you for what you do. So you can just speak to, if you can tell us your web address and whatever you'd like to put out there to our listeners.
Thank you. The site is selfdiscoveryradio.com. You'll find everything there, including Bill Mackey has a show on Quinessence where he interviews people on kind of energy and extraordinary things, but also on the Q Factor. You can get hold of me at info@selfdiscoveryradio.com. If you know somebody who has a wonderful story, you know, that needs to be told, if you're an organization that even wants to have your own genre, where I can tell the stories of your organization, if you're wanting to be a host and you feel that you've got that commitment and that ability in you, we'll welcome you. So it's selfdiscoveryradio.com. And for the Q Factor, to know more about how to stay in the zone, that's livingfractals.com. And you can reach either of us there. So it's Sarah Troy at info@selfdiscoveryradio.com or Bill Mackey at livingfractals.com.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for that. Well, I would like to wrap this up by a big thank you to my sponsors here at BBS Radio at the Happiness Hangout. I'd like to thank AirServe of Strongsville and AirServe of Mentor, Ohio, both in the Cleveland, Ohio area, servicing all of your residential and commercial heating and cooling needs. www.airserve.com, and that's AirServ, airserve.com. Also, Humility Thriving Out Loud. Visit and read The Magic Happens magazine. Go to themagichappensnow.com. So, Sarah, this was a wonderful show of inspiration, and I hope that our listeners, well, I know they're going to enjoy it very much. Looking forward, it is actually going to air at my next show on March 23rd, which I'm very happy about. So that will happen then, and then we're going to be doing our stories of inspiration at another show, so you get two doses of inspiration, and you can always listen to our podcast here at BBS Radio under the archives at any time if you can't listen during showtime. So, Sarah, thank you. Go ahead, Sarah, please.
Well, I just want to let everybody know that you're on my show March 15th to 21st, and it's What Does Happiness Really Mean with Laurie Peters, and they can find you under Choose Positive Living on the site.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate the plug there, and look forward to working with you again and talking to you more and putting out all of our information on actual stories of inspiration of our fellow human beings. And hopefully that will inspire, you know, our listeners and give them some ideas about what happens outside of just their own world. So once again, Sarah Troy of selfdiscoveryradio.com, thank you so much for being on the show and looking forward to talking with you next time.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much, love.
Help us grow the Happiness Hangout Show. Become a sponsor. Businesses and nonprofits, get your info out there to thousands of my listeners all over the world for just pennies. Individuals can also sponsor one or more shows, and you get a shout out to your favorite charity. Several packages available. Come see what you get and put out there what's important to you. Go to www.happinesshangout.net. www.happinesshangout.net for more information. This is Lori Peters with the Happiness Hangout. I provide presentations on happiness and well-being to businesses, schools, and anyone involved in wellness and professional days. Check out tons of free resources and activities also at my website, www.happinesshangout.net. Feel better wherever you are.